broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest word assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity you have given to us. We do not take it for granted that when you took the roll call of or the wake up call this morning, we were found among the people you considered very, very important for today. That's why we woke up. That's why we're here. We do not take it for granted because you still need us around. That's why we're around. We ask you help us to fulfill all that is in your mind for keeping us alive. We are so grateful for this church, this assembly, for the growth, the message we have received. Thank you for Pastor Gbenga, for wisdom, so much of wisdom. Lord, we have seen your grace lavished over him and his wife and the entire ministering team. We have seen your work prosper. We do not take it for granted. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. Lord, we are so thankful for everything. We are so thankful. And Lord, we just know that you've not even started with us. Because from all indications, there is a pointer to greater things. And we are welcoming them. We are welcoming greatness on every side. We are welcoming comfort on every side. We are welcoming increase numerically. We are welcoming increasing stature in wisdom, in favor with God and with man. And there is no other person to worship than you, our God, to adore, to love, to cherish, because you are true and always true. Thank you.
You are beautiful in all your ways. You are beautiful in all your ways.
Sing it again. You are beautiful.
You are beautiful in all your ways.
Can you admire the Lord? Can you just admire the Lord in his beauty this morning? Have you seen him in his ways?
You are beautiful in all your ways.
You're so beautiful. So beautiful.
You are beautiful in all ways.
Sing it two more times. You are so beautiful. You're beautiful.
May I be like a child, staring at the beauty of my dream. Wide-eyed and mystified, may I be just like a child, staring at the beauty of my dream.
Just like a child. beautiful. Oh, you're so beautiful.
You are beautiful in all your ways.
May we never lose our wonder.
as you keep amazing us, as we keep changing, as we behold you. That's what we say. That's what we say, because we'll ever wonder. We will ever wonder as we behold you. We will never cease to wonder as we behold you. Oh yes, the beauty of sight is beholding you. The beauty of sight is to see you. The beauty of sight is to see you. As you keep amusing us, as you keep filling our hearts with wonders, that's what we get when we behold you. We keep getting the wonders. We are never satisfied, because again and again, we want to see you. We want to see you. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Never, never, never. May we never lose our wonder. May we be just like a child, sharing out the beauty of our King. May we never lose our wonder.
May we never lose our wonder.
Never, 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 never.
May we never lose our wonder.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus' mighty name. Can we put our hands together and celebrate Jesus? Help me welcome somebody close to you again to church with a very warm greeting. I make sure it's a greeting. If you are pregnant in the house, can you stand on your feet? Whether you have a big tummy yet or not, you can stand. Hallelujah. God bless you, pregnant women. Amen. Just two of you. Okay, hope to see more of you. Father, we cover these ones with prayers in the name of Jesus. Can we stretch our hands forward and cover them in the name of Jesus? Bazi hantale boronosh rediela sufalam betis eleriana hasosofrodia pata borehensi cowboy. In Jesus' name we pray. We cover you with prayers that this season God will keep you, and the time of delivery it shall be easy. I speak that word to your life, that there will be no waiting attack for the day of delivery. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. Take your seat. It is done. If you are here, you want to get pregnant, and you've been trying to get pregnant, get up. The anointing is in the house. You want to get pregnant? You're hoping to get pregnant? You, come. I want to touch you. Come. Hallelujah. Come. Amen and amen. Receive an opening. In the name of Jesus, it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, it's done. Can as well get pregnant today. Receive an opening in the name of Jesus. It is done. Receive an opening in the name of Jesus. It is done. God bless you. Your Bible, to the book of Psalm. I'm going to speak briefly on one of the messianic. I call it a messianic prophecy.
because of the things I see. And very popular Psalm 24. Amen. Psalm 24. You're trusting God for an intervention. There is miracle in the house. Seriously. You're trusting God for something quick. Quick as in now. As we were praying, I just sense God is doing that. I mean, that kind of praying that we are doing, and is bringing an urgency. It's bringing an urgency from heaven that is bringing, you know, that kind of praying that unseasoned prayer was made for Peter. And while they were praying, the answer was knocking. You saw that in the scripture. The church engaged God on behalf of Peter. They said, we won't have Peter remain in prison. And as they kept praying and they were praying and praying, they weren't expecting the answer that soon. They were actually expecting certain legislation that will send notice to somebody, that will get in touch with the government, and government will get in touch with somebody that will send a lawyer to the next court city, and where they are taking the decision, they will now say, well, after all, Peter is not guilty. But God wouldn't waste time to do all that. He will just go right straight to the prison, send angels there and make all the locks break on their own accord, make earthquakes, and while Peter was still sleeping, the earthquake will wake him up, and there'll be a command from heaven, from an angel, to tell Peter, get out of this place and go and meet your brethren. And the answer was coming to me. The people were praying just right there where they were praying. I believe in prayer as a lot. I believe in prayer as a lot. Anybody that doesn't believe in prayer is not humble. Because we are needy people. We are needy people. No matter how I teach, what textures my heart is prayer. When I teach, I still go back to God as a needy people. And to tell God I depend on you. The only way you tell God you depend on Him is to pray. You can teach everything, but if you cannot pray, you are only saying I have the capacity to do the things I've seen in the scripture. And if you do think you have the capacity to do the things you have seen in the scripture, you're failed. Because God has actually designed humanity to be dependent on Him. Prayer is supposed to be our living. If you are not praying, you are fainting. He told them a parable in the book of Luke chapter 18. To the extent that men should what? Know that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word ought there is from the Greek dehin, from another word deho. Deho means to tie. To tie in such a way that you cannot or not tie. It means our life is binding on prayer. That's how we are designed to live. If you live otherwise, you are living in an antichrist dimension. Okay? Ought. It means it is compulsory. It is binding. It is how they should live. And the word faint is from en kakos, which simply means to decay or to rotten or to go bad. It's just like, you know, when you make vegetable salad, for those of you who like cooking like me, when you make salad, there's an atmosphere to preserve salad. If you put it under certain level of temperature, it's going to go bad. The way God made man, in order for him not to go bad, he has to pray. Anything outside that atmosphere is going to go bad. It's going to rotten. It's going to anchor cold. It's going to decompose. It's going to become evil. It's going to go bad. It's going to rot. Okay? So, in our prayer is not just to make requests. Prayer is fellowship. And that fellowship is designed for you not to go bad. Okay? That's why it is the atmosphere that preserves the soul of man to get in touch with God, to be in touch with God, to stay with God. And I believe strongly this morning that outside going bad in this atmosphere this morning, God is generating power, not just power to preserve, but power to regenerate, power to restore. Can somebody shout restore?
So every urgency in the house, I just get a feeling in my spirit, and it's very certain that God is bringing quick intervention. Whether healing of the body, whether confusions that are dissolving, answers are coming. Specifically, there is a man here around the hours of 10 and 12 on Tuesday. You are getting the news. It's a miracle. And it's traceable to this service. I thought you were going to clap your hands and celebrate Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, one of the prophetic giftings that you must have is to be able to actualize timing and pick things that God is doing. When I get to atmosphere, sometimes God begins to show me things He's doing, and it happens. I so celebrate God for that, because it gives us hope. It makes us very assured of the God we're serving, and that this thing is more than theology. Amen. God bless you. Take your seat comfortably. So anticipate something beautiful in your life this week, because God wants to do just that. Amen and amen. The book of Psalm chapter number 24. Amen. Of course, every face, almost all the faces are familiar. And so I have the liberty to just operate as me and not to try and impress you. Amen. So be very open to and trust God that He will speak to us this morning. In my usual way, I didn't really plan what to say until Pastor began to bring us to certain dimensions of the Spirit that opened up something to me. Chapter 24 of Psalm. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. Look at this progression. I want you to see progression in this psalm. It's highly prophetic. And it's describing operations. It's describing operations. It is meant for the church. It is meant for you and I. The foundation is to know that God has everything in this dimension. And that must register. And the fact that He has everything is important. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell therein. So the earth and the Lord are two different expressions. The earth is the Lord, not just the earth. But the Lord owns the world. So, don't even mind that what you call the world today. Of course, the difference between the earth and the world is that the earth is the fixed creation. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. But the earth has a system that runs it. It is called the world. Okay? But altogether, you must be able to picture or get it registered in your mind that the earth is the Lord and its fullness. Its fullness means everything that pertains to the earth is the Lord, including the ones that causes destruction. So you can say mosquito is the Lord, even though it sucks your blood, and the scorpion that bites you is the Lord, Abby, and the snake is the Lord. So the things you consider negative, they are even the Lord's. One of the things that kingdom must do to us is to give us a system that will make us operate the earth the way God wants us to. For example, there is a general system that is lower to the system of God's kingdom. Okay? Which is the general mindset of man. The natural human programs are lower to the operations of God. Human perception is different from God's perception. That's why I came and spoke to Israel to Isaiah. He said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. The way humans function in their mind is different from the way God functions. That's why it takes the Spirit of God for us to run a different system in the earth, so that our perspective will be different. When the natural mind sees a thing, the way it processes it will be different from when God, a sound mind, a mind that is indwelt by the Spirit, processes it differently. Okay, can I raise an example so that you'll be able to appreciate what I'm saying? For example, the hand of God was upon Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 37, and he took him by the Spirit. It is easy to read that in the Bible. And set him in a valley full of dry bones. Now, can I tell you, a natural mind who goes in the Spirit, maybe your dream, let me just call it a dream, and he goes in that dream, and he was being taken, and he landed in a valley. You know what valley is? Koto. And when he got to that valley in that dream, he looked to the side, he finds skulls, heavily dried skull and femur bones scattered everywhere. You know, femur bones are like drumstick. He turned to the side. He found another set of skull, dry. Some the jaw removed. Finding jaw bones aside, femur bone, leg bones, tibia bones. You know, tell me more bones. Fibula bones. You don't know science, Jared. I thought you'd just be giving me. I don't try. I give you at least three. God bless you, man. Radius bone, those are vertebrae. Abby? People want to show me now that they went to school. Hallelujah. And all you find in the valley is bone. The natural mind say, hey, Mugbe. Abby? No, you know, when we are reading scriptures, I like you sometimes to get in the act. The hand of God was upon me. I think when the hand of God is upon someone and is taking you in the Spirit, you should learn to a mount of transfiguration. And you see the Lord. And you see Jesus. His eyes like fire. And his head like wool. And his feet like fire. And you say, oh, I worship Lord. I worship. That's what the hand of the Lord should do, right? But the hand of the Lord was upon me. He took me in the Spirit and he set me in a valley. You know, if you have not been able to go through the entire book of Ezekiel 37, and where it stopped was, and he set me in the valley of dry bones. You wouldn't like to go to that chapter again. Especially while I was growing up to learn the word of the Lord. You know, while I was still going up learning the word of the Lord, especially hearing God speak to me, I used to, of course, you know, while we were small, we were told never to read Job chapter number, Job 14. Say, don't read Job 14. No. If you read Job 14, you may go mad. We had all those guys. I don't know if you got those fables while you were younger, but I did. And so we were careful not to open to Job all the time. And but then later, when I started trusting God to start learning to hear God, I used to do this. I used to have a Bible that has a divider rope. So I say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Speak to me. Speak to me concerning this case. I'm trusting you. Maleka Shadaha. Hold this microphone for will catch me sometimes. I will just open and find woe unto you. Then I will quickly call and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Speak again. Until God began to tell me that even woe unto you is relevant. It depends on how you process it. Alright? Everyone, he began to let me know that every one of these things you see is relevant, including, and he started working for me, including when I get to some scriptures that I think are not relevant. If I get very patient, the Spirit of God will tell me what he wants to tell me, because on that I'll get to some place, will say, and Methuselah begat, and this one begat. I say, and what is my business with who begat who? And all of these, they are very relevant. Somebody shout hallelujah. It takes an understanding. Some say an understanding. 1 John chapter number 5. He say, he has given us an understanding. It's a particular understanding. It is the way we function in the kingdom. We function with understanding. Somebody say with me, an understanding. And the reason why he said an understanding, 1 John chapter number 5, I think, go down if you want to help me. You'll find it around 20, 21 something, if I'm right. 20, right? And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him. It's an understanding, an understanding. It's not a common understanding. We don't process the same way. That's why I'm always afraid when we gather and we are taught and we don't go back to the processor. We have to go back, like the Berean. It is not everything I teach that you should take hook, line, and sinker. Don't say because, Pastor is apostolic. If there is no synchronization in your spirit, I may be coming from the flesh. Anybody can come from the flesh. Especially when you get to mighty conferences, everybody wants to show they know scripture. So be careful when you are in atmospheres. If you get anything strange, go back to the scripture and look straight into it like the Berean. Then, sieve the one that you know, that pastor is just trying to show that he's a big man. Sieve that one aside and pick the one that you know that the Spirit of the Lord is talking to me. That's how to operate. But generally, we must understand that the kingdom gives us a way of processing things differently. By the help of the Spirit, we have an understanding, and that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The true God and eternal life, coming to the true God and eternal life is based on the fact that we have an understanding. So we understand differently. So you can find yourself in the dream with bones that are dry, and it does not mean you will die. I was going to pray with someone in Akure recently. Said, hey, Daddy, please, I want you to pray with my wife. He has been having bad dream, and the Lord said to me, he's a liar. The girl has not been having bad dream. I said, no, the Lord said your wife has not been having bad dream. He said, Daddy, she has been having bad dream. In fact, yesterday she was crying. I said, tell me one of the dreams. He said, my wife will just wake up like this and tell me how she saw plenty money. And she's processing it with superstition. They say if you see money in your dream, it means you are going to be poor. What scripture? And some of you guys believe it. Some of you guys do. They said, I ate in my dream. They said, I ate poison. Me, that I ate very good meal in my dream. But the last time I remembered, I see it pounded yam. It depends on who is serving the food. It's not every dream that is coming from the realms of demon. In fact, why do you always believe your dreams should be from demons? Why? I know pastor wants to come and conduct deliverance for me now because he knows I hate pandediam in dream. Sometimes if I have desired pandediam too much, I will eat it in the dream. Then the next day, I will ask somebody to pound it for me so that the dream can come true. So that I won't be a false prophet. Say he has given us an understanding. And it matters so much. Understanding matters so much. It makes the difference. Understanding that is battered by our experience in the spirit makes us different. It makes us different. It makes us see things differently. Okay? While I was small, my mom was very superstitious. When we were going out for something important, she must not meet a man as the first contact in a day. And I remember the other time, she was taking me out. We were going to write my exams. Was it a common entrance exam? And immediately we came out. Hey, she ran back. She said, oh God, you will leave. She said, one more in my pass, right? And why I actually veered into this by saying we need to understand that the Lord owns everything. He's the possessor. That's the first expression of Abrahamic covenant. That he understood that God is the possessor. Now, if you begin to come to this, that God is the possessor, you will run after the earth or the things of the earth. Okay? You run after the Lord. He owns everything. When he was saying something through Isaiah, that thing amazes me a lot. And he gave me another fortification. He said through Isaiah to the people, he said, the blacksmith that creates the weapon is my own. The weapon that he creates, Namigeta, the idea that battered the weapon. He said, so now, upon this foundation, no weapon formed against you shall. That means from the day they started creating in Avax, exempted you from one of the people it can affect. You don't get it. That's my own anti-God. Or DHE. You know, I'm a politician. And politicians must use Ayeta. Or there are guns flying everywhere. I'm not ashamed to be called a politician. Because all of you are apostles and prophets. And now I'm a politician. If you keep living your your governance to the hand of people who get drunk every night before going to legislate. They will legislate your destiny into rubbish. Somebody was sleeping in the midst of two women in Sheraton and is passing a bill in the morning. Or you prefer somebody who is staying with the Lord to legislate, who's working on the destiny of Nigeria and writing a bill and praying in tongues. I do this for my children and children's children. We ask, oh God, you preserve them. Even in this land that you have given to us. And he's praying and deciding the future of Nigeria. And he comes to present the bill. And he's warring against the powers of darkness. It's warfare. He's coming to present the bill and he's saying the ruler spirit, they are coming down. And he's presenting the destiny of your nation. Or you prefer the guy who's writing the bill by the side. And he's calling the girlfriend. I say, I'm in the hotel. Do you want to come? And I ask, come with two of your friends and do massage on my back. And he's throwing money around them. And the second morning he's dressed in a very white flowing agbada. And he carries his bill and he's reading. I don't know what you are. Christians, we just excite ourselves in conferences. And we leave the system to die. We leave it to die. The Islamics are very smart. They are buying systems. We are building monuments. My cathedral. Our fanciful church. Go and check the one that was built in the 70s and the 60s and the 50s. They are now bought. They are bought as some museums. Okay? If you go to the side of the east, if you go to where was the church of Ephesus? What's the place called now? If you go to Turkey, all those big churches, they are what? I was in Athens, where the gospel began. I was in Thessaloniki. I saw the stuffs going there. You would never believe that Paul had preached there. Because the real monuments are systems that are in the spirit that we can still contact today, not bricks and blocks. So we can't just afford to excite ourselves alone. We have to build systems and buy into systems and possess the nation. Because God is actually the possessor of heaven and earth. And we have to understand that fundamentally, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. If it is the Lord, if it is your daddy's property, then you must be annoyed when people mess it up. How many of you look at your dad's property and you see tenants break it down? How many of you have overseen your father's property before? How do you feel when you get to a tenant's house and you see that the gate is down? I say, are you out of your mind? This is my dad's property. For all you care, people of God, God is still interested in this thing because he owns it. So the extent to which he's interested, he will tell you. And we have to find out these rules of engagement. Because if he's not interested, as soon as you are getting saved, you'll be doing the harvest immediately. Jesus had to pray in John chapter 17 for even those of us who are not saved. He said, I do not pray that you take them from this world. One of the prayers of Jesus is that don't take them out. So why does he need them here? He said, don't take them out, but just keep them from the evil. Because I still need them to raise standards so that I will be justified in judgment. I still need them to exercise dominion. I do not pray that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil. I do not pray for these ones alone, but I do pray also for them that will believe after them. So the prayer was extended to you. Listen to me. If Jesus could that commit himself to the future, and the only way he had a grip on the future is praying, I'm afraid you are wasting your time if you are not investing your life in prayers. The reason why Jesus will have us still being prepared and preserved today is because he's prayed ahead. In fact, when what was ordained in the Father was that after he leaves, the Spirit will come. But for a smooth transition, he was talking to disciples. He said, if you love me, I will pray the Father. He will send you another comforter. So things don't just leave heavens except people pray. Transitions don't just go smoothly except people pray. Purposes of God are never battered on earth except people pray. Okay? Are we still here? Somebody is annoyed with me this morning. If you are vexing, shout hallelujah. Amen. So I'm encouraged. I can go further. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the sea and established it upon the waters. Verse 3. Look at the progression. I know you always like to read from this point, but you have to come from that point. After establishing the fact that God is the possessor of the heaven and earth, the next phase is that he began to describe how the earth will be preserved. He began to say, who will ascend? Who will ascend? And that is our concern. That's the purpose of our fellowship and our ministries. Is who will ascend? Because the operations of God in the earth will only be possible if we can only get an ascending people. The hope of the man-child in Revelation chapter 12 is what? He was caught up to the throne. The hope of our executing the purposes of God in the earth is to find ascension. The operations of the kingdom that births ascension is a priority. A praying is a system of ascension. Our fellowship should be systems of ascension. And our teachings must be systems of ascension. And what I mean by ascension is there is a higher system that operates above the earth. The earth, the world, will form a platform for the natural. But for us, God's intention is to bring us to a higher system. It's called the hill of the Lord or the mountain of the Lord. We are mountainous by nature, by calling. And our duty is ascension. And ascension is tedious. Ascension is mountain climbing. Our duty is ascension. Our duty is what? Ascension. And when you're talking about a mountain climbing, it is not a very easy process. In fact, I learned it's even a sport these days. But it's not everybody that want to do that kind of... it's not everybody. Okay? I remember we were going to go from one point to another. We were going to the mountain of the Lord's temptation. The first time I got to Jerusalem. And we were going to go from one side to the other. So some people said we should go by road. Another set said there is a connecting we call it cable car. There is a rope that leads from one mountain to another, and there is one hook on that rope. It's electric and it's now has a box tied to the hook, so the hook will slant through the rope to the other side. And I made bold. I said, guys, come with me. Let's go through the cable car. I will get to the mountain. We don't have to climb. To climb is terrible. So climb is very terrible. In fact, when the cable car takes you, it takes you to a point, then you climb the rest. So I called some of my guys and we went in the cable car. Oh my God. When we got to the middle and I looked down, I couldn't tell the cable car to reverse. And immediately we got to the middle, it was as if they now took the electricity. So we were hanging there for almost 15 minutes. And everybody began to express their fear. That's why you're now you say, make we can't join this team. I said, not to worry, this one. This is a small height now. But inside of my soul, I was communicating with God. God, Ayomiku is still a very small boy. The height was scary when I looked down and I saw movement of people. I saw cars, they were like box of matches down, and I said, yes, this is height. I began to speak in tongues, but because I was one that led it, I said, why this is small height now, why all of you behaving as if this is, there is nothing, this is nothing. What about if you get to the mountain of transfiguration? We are still going there. But inside of my heart, I'm saying, can this thing move? And believe you me, by the time we got to the Mount of Temptation, I did not go back with the cable car. I used my feet to go down and trek to get a cab. That's to tell you that heights can be very, very, very dangerous. If you're going to climb, it takes a lot. I won't dwell there. Maybe some other time, if I have an opportunity to speak along this, I would dwell so much on ascending. Ascending is a process of dying to flesh. Okay? Those who climb are dead people. Fears are not in them anymore. Climbers don't fear nothing. They look down. Some of them are even climbing and something is falling. They are trying to pick it. Because they've done it again and again. And God takes us to such disciplines in the things of the Spirit. He takes us to such discipline in things of the Spirit so that we die to self. Okay? But my emphasis this morning is the fact that God wants to build an higher system to the systems of this world. And is trusting God to raise a hill. When you're talking, maybe I should relate this to prophecy of Isaiah 2. When he said, the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted above what? And above hills. Abi? 2. If I'm right, Isaiah chapter 2, verse what? Verse 2, right? Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now, if you look at the prophecy of hills and mountains, you will discover that what God is simply saying is that he wants to establish a system that is higher than every other system that is established in the earth. Okay? And what are systems? What are hills? Like, I think it is the psalmist that used this word in another place. He said, I will lift up my eyes to thee. I will lift my eyes to the hill. And hills there was not just talking about a mass of land that is higher than the natural topography. It's actually talking about systems. Hills. Mountains are talking about ancient systems that has run the earth. Science is healed. Heal. Religion is ill. Heal. Including Christian religion. Religion is ill. What else is ill? Education. Enter, one of the highest ill is what? Entertainment. And the guy is saying, I will lift my hands to the hills. And he said, my help cannot come from any of these hills. My help comes from the Lord. Because the Lord will establish a hill on top of them all. And it is called kingdom. His own kingdom. And we are a people of ascension that will form the hill of the Lord. We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And what God is saying is that in this earth, to climax it, he must have built a system that is superior to every other system. And even in a typical manner, he described in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, he said he will even superimpose his mountain over other mountains. That's why some of us are politicians. He will superimpose his mountain over other mountains. The mountain of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains. That means every other social system in the world or economic system in the world will bow to the system that God is establishing. And that system is what we call kingdom. I like to use the word kingdom more and more these days because the word church has been far abused. It's been abused. So, because in the common picture that comes to our mind when we talk about church is actually religious. And God is more than the systems of religion. In fact, God's kingdom is going to be superimposing even the religious systems, including what we call Christianity. Of course, I'm not saying I'm not a Christian, so that you won't go from this place and say, Ayo came to teach in our church. He said he's not a Christian. No, that his Christianity is lower. I'm only making a literal statement. Because even the word Christianity was not a word from the church. It was a word from observers. And we just adopted it. But for the purpose of interface and education and all that, if you give me a form to fill, and you write religion, I will put Christianity. So that you can identify. But I'm more than that. But that's what you call me. In order for you to understand what you call me, I'll put it there, I'll fill the gap. Okay? Because even some of our fathers who lived before this age, they were Christians. That's why you find them in other religion. Abraham is in Islam. Okay? Abraham is in Judaism. He's the father, he's their daddy in Judaism. And he's also my daddy. So they'll come back and say, we serve the same God. It's a mistake. It's an aberration. In some other religion, they recognize him. At least for those who want to be generally acceptable, they must be closer to the Bible. If you want to be generally acceptable, at least you will be closer to the Bible. Okay? But the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted. Can someone say that the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted? But who will ascend? Who are the people that will make up the hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord? Do you want to come to the mountain of the Lord? Do you want to come to the mountain of the Lord? For there is a place for those who are thirsty. Is the mountain of the Lord. Is the mountain of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord. Oh yes, I want to come to the mountain of the Lord. Oh yes, I want to come to the mountain of the Lord. For that is the place. Misuse this word. It's ume. It's not everybody's territory. It's not everybody's territory. It's not all human that will come there. And the word ume also connotes the fact that it takes decisions. It takes decisions. Coming to kingdom takes decision. takes decisions. It's just like our sense of decision that we call born again. It's not complete the way we teach it. You see, I'm always very careful of coming to balance, because sometimes when you teach people that you need decisions, it takes determination, then it looks as if you're trying to omit grace. No, we are not omitting grace. Grace is a gift, but the gift is not an end on itself. Everything in the New Testament begins with a gift. You see, the Old Testament, the entire picture is just to show humanity that he cannot help himself. The law was given to them, and it was obvious that it would be tedious and almost impossible. And how do I know? The person that brought the law in tablet, okay, was called the meekest man on earth then. Of course, there are meeker people there now. They are meeker. God is the meek that we inherit the earth. But the functionality of meekness today is different from the one Moses used. Moses used the one that he accumulated from his own personal experience. You cannot be meeker than Moses of that day, because he was even working in his in-law's family. It takes a meek man in Yoruba land to work for his father-in-law. You understand? Who means that day is one paying your salary? How will you behave at home? You can't use your commands always. Alabada Hayata. I remember when I first got married to Bitayo, the father said, by all means, we have to come to the U.S. I said, I'm not Moses. And for several years, my father-in-law didn't talk to me. I said, it's okay. He said, I just started a school. I started this in California. Ayo, you are the one that is handling this sector. He was already dividing my own portion for me. I said, this man wants to make me Moses. He wants to take me to the backside of the desert and go and train me, so that I wait for some time before I can see the bush burning in fire. I said, I reject it in Jesus' name. And my wife was sad. I said, madam, is that you are still married to Reverend Arulo, or you are married to me? I'm not going to the U.S. So told the daddy that, well, we have assignment here. To make it worse, he took me to Bishop Oyedepo so that I can be useful to myself. And I absconded again. And I'm sure he started regretting giving his first precious daughter to this man who doesn't want to make anything good out of his life. I'm offering you on the platter of God to come to California. By now, you know, I should have been a California pastor coming to visit you. That could have been beautiful, you know. And I just talked to my microphone saying, you know, I just came back from California. Now, how are you, everybody? Well, you know, it's more beautiful that I've been drilled God's way. And I can represent what I'm representing in God's heart today, not feeling any kind of esteem. I don't have any esteem issue, whether high complex or low complex. Ayojeje is just him. I'm not ready to be anybody in this world. I'm just very fine. You don't have to bring me to your pulpit. You don't even have to like me. Because woe is you when every man speak good of you. I don't look for fans. I'm not looking for followership. If you find me on Facebook, it's not fan page. I'm just me. You don't have to sign on me. I just want to be God, what God wants me to be. In the head today, I don't have issue with any human. I don't have anybody I'm fighting. I don't even have anybody that is fighting me. I don't have anybody I'm not greeting. Isn't that beautiful? I don't have anybody I can see his face that I will feel remorse. I don't have anybody that I can look at and say, he offended me last week. I'm just fine. I'm just fine. I want God to make me that he found and wrote about in the beginning. And I want to represent the things that are written about me. I don't even want to preach like you. I don't even want to talk like you. I just want to be me. But Moses was called to be the meekest man on the earth. That's where I came from, and I was saying all this. I need another 10 minutes so that we'll go home. Amen. Bala se kaporo vianda si tapo yala bande si kleke si to. Ri no hosia tai kasu falakaya redosi klesu kaba dania sata frenisi brene hengle tu suprunde hita elendu suprokedia lambrone hisu hatali ambros. I want God to help us. I just heard the Lord. There are issues of bitterness. Let the Lord cleanse us. There are issues of bitterness. The Bible says, let there be any roots of bitterness whereby many be defiled. Issues of bitterness are issues that cause defilement. And you know why it's called root of bitterness? Because roots are never visible. Don't see it. You don't see. So, can you bow your head and cleanse your soul? Cleanse your soul. There is any bitter thing, bitter stuff, unforgiveness. They are never visible. You can undo them without anybody knowing. But God says they can defile. And God just interrupted me and asked for me to make that call in the house. And while you do that, and just let go. Let go. Let go of your friends. Let go of your families. Let go of your close associates that hurt you and is leaving a root of defilement in you. Can you let go? Can you ask the Lord for cleansing? Can you ask the Lord for cleansing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for cleansing, Lord. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you for cleansing. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes, where was I? I was talking about Moses. Moses was actually the one that brought the law. And when, as meek as Moses was, when he got back, Joshua was the one that was hearing the noise in the camp first. And Joshua said, "Oga, it's like there is celebration." Oga said, "No. This voice that I'm hearing is strange." And by the time he got down, oh. These guys. How many weeks ago? I left you just how many weeks ago? And Aaron, you were here. May you not fill an office you are not called into. Because you will develop artificial means of leading the people. You will develop very apt. If you get in an office that you are not called into, you will devise methods. And that methods will be idolatry. And methods are often devised at that point is called acceptable methods. And it doesn't mean it won't grow the church. It will excite the people. But it's not heaven's design. So Moses had to burn it, turn it to ashes, make all of them to drink it. You have to drink of your iniquity. He broke everything. You know? Sometimes I wonder how we could have had. You see, the issue of this life of the kingdom is not momentary. It's not goosebumps. The reality of it is lifestyle. How you wonder that sometimes all of us are here and we have swell time. As we are preaching, prophecies are coming. I am the Lord. I'm with you. And when you see some people giving words, especially words in other tongues, you feel goosebumps on your body because they are coming from the celestial. You just feel it. Have you been in such an atmosphere before? My God. It makes me, it reminds me of my friend of blessed memory, Richard. You know, there's a way he brings a word. And when he's bringing the word, you'll be feeling it's like oil is running down through your spine. The thing is so real. It's like the thing is clothing you up. And it looks to me as if this experience, sometimes they are too serious that it looks as if it has changed us. Have you ever been to a conference that it looks as if everybody has changed? Have you ever been to a service and it looks as if everybody there has changed because there's so much of emotions? The way we are even speaking in tongues. Then when you see us going out and we are filing out and we're encouraging ourselves, oh, say, sister, we, oh, this is a wonderful service. Oh, you blew my mind with that revelation. Ah, thank you. But go and get that same guy in the bus stop. You find out that where is the experience of Sunday? When we go, oh, Yahweh, any? Oh, Yahweh, oh, mommy, oh. Some of you guys don't really know. You know you love Pastor Ayo because when you see him preach, you just like him. This guy is just fun. Some people say I'm a semi-comedian preacher. Everybody say all kinds of things about me. But you can't even know me so well until you come and live in my house. And you discover that I can be moody. I can just get out and not greet you. I say, ah, is this Pastor Ayo? I greet him, I say, hi. And I'm going. And you asked me to help you fill a form, and 4 days I've not filled it. I have me to say, Pastor, please can you help me do endorsement? And I forgot it. Or you say, I should help you bring your machine from Akure, and I don't remember. The closer you get to people, the more you find out they are human. But you see, the worst of it is when we get into our best moments together and we are getting things happening, revelations, God is saying things and things are happening. I just feel it will keep us in that mood forever. Like a Moses that had been in the fire. What else does he want? I told myself, I said, that Moses, he messed up. If I had been in half of that fire, I would have become another man. To the extent that when he was coming, people could not. He was carrying a radiant glory, but it didn't change his lifestyle. When he was coming down the mountain and he heard not, he forgot that he just finished face to face. He said, hey, man, show you let me. That was the meekest man on earth. He's just telling me that the Adamic nation is so strong that it takes grace for us to come to the true meaning of transformation. It takes grace. That's why people say grace is something that makes you remain in one kind of idiot lifestyle. They don't even understand. Grace is that system that makes the impossible possible, that we can actually live a life that is devoid of hypocrisy. That's grace. And at the best of our moment, as I said earlier, they are not our conference moment or our service moment. The best of our moments are not our bedroom worship moment. They are the public worship moment. The biggest mystery of God is the mystery of our divine nature. The mystery of our divine nature. And when you are talking about the mystery of God, it's not just revelation. It is the mystery of the life we can live that is different. And the world cannot phantom. That the world cannot phantom, that somebody could be slapped, toes, and he turned his other cheek, tars, and he's going. And Pastor W.F. Kumuyi sent a message out recently. I read it and I became very sober in my room.
He said, before I became a man of God, he said, I was more tender and godlike. He said, now that I become more a tender, a man of God, I discover I've become more eddy and more ardent. Because I just want to protect my church, my image, my integrity. He said, now I can afford to say things I will not say when I was much younger in the faith. Because I have more dreams now than. So he was talking to us leaders that we should be careful. That the essence of our call is actually our life. And the real message is to be a witness. And not a witness by conversation, but by our life. The biggest mystery of God is the mystery of his divine nature. Oh, I don't have time today. I would have shown you that the war against the beast was won by a lamp. Go and check chapter 17 of Revelation, verse 14. The war against the beast was not won by a lion. The war against the beast was won by a... And that's a mystery. The mystery of the lambic nature, the nature of God, the human that does not fight for his right, but yet prevail. He was led as a sheep unto slaughter. He did not open his mouth. You know, so many of us, we don't even have the sheepish nature or the lambic nature. He said, follow me, I will make you. But you ran away because you were not being followed up. You understand me? The command is follow me. You won't follow up. He said, when last did they visit my house? Are you listening to me? Okay. The mystery of the divine nature is what takes us to the hill. Maybe I should just hand up here. I don't have to say everything that God is putting in my heart for our time. Who will ascend? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And we've described the hill of the Lord enough, haven't we? He who has clean hands, a pure heart. You know what clean hands are? The lifestyle. You see, the description of the kingdom is more in our lifestyle, Wumi. I can sing so sonorously and tickle your emotion. It doesn't end there. Who will ascend? He has a clean and he has a pure heart. Not a false heart. Because God wants to deal with our heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of the heart is first expressed in sincerity. Sincere. Can we become a sincere people? Can we stop being religious? Sincere. What do you call a man that has two faces? Huh? Beast. So the beast of the revelation, that's the meaning. When they turn like this, they are fine. If they turn like this, when they come on Sunday, they use, oh, bless you, it is well, sir. Yeah, I'm going to see you later on Wednesday, sir. It is well, sir. Then when they get to another place, oh, baby, Alpha, babe. It's two-faced. The two-faced in Revelation is a beast. Pure heart. Sincere people. There is, you know me. Some of you who are close to me know me. I don't know how to pretend. If I don't like your face, I'm telling you straight. Oh boy, you are not serious. Get out. So then we cannot mend. But when I'm happy, I'm happy. And I'm still working on myself. Because preaching will not validate the kingdom in me. Preaching is not it. You may give me a pass mark. It doesn't make me ascend. I need a true ascension. I need a thorough position. I need a place on the hills. He has a pure heart. Who has not lifted his soul to an idol? You know, the Hebrew word for idol simply means vanity. Motivation, you know now, vanity. And of course, you know, this is a church that is of broken people. This is not a church where we are making confessions because of Mercedes. Of course, Mercedes is good. I have different kind of cars. In progression, Wumi, you know, there are ones that I know that yes, this one is there is no warfare in this one. This one is peace. But if God wants me to war, no problem. I'll see war because my life is not validated by that. One of my friends came to me recently. He said, "Ayo, you're a big boy. You are not using driver." I said, "You don't have common sense." The truth of the matter is that I don't even like anybody driving me. But now I'm so involved in too many things that even if I don't have a Jethro to advise me, I must advise myself. Because recently I drove myself into the bush and I couldn't tell anybody. I drove into the bush. Eh? And I parked and reversed out of the bush. Because I was sleeping. I just accelerated into the bush. The other vehicle that was going park, he said, "Excuse me, are you all right? Take it easy, I said, thank you, sir. I reversed, and God was so faithful. The car didn't even have a dent. Then the woman came close. "Hey, your daddy, take it easy, oh. Take it easy, oh. Ah. Once there's life, there's hope, sound." I couldn't. What is my own? "Ah, thank you for your concern, ma. Ah, daddy, eshe, sir. Eshe, ma. Eshe. Eshe." And I said, "Okay, at this point now, I have to advise myself. If there is no Jethro to advise me." So it's not a matter of being a big boy. I'm not designed for that. Whose soul is not lifted up to idol or he has sworn deceitful? And do we really mean our declarations? You know, that I've not sworn deceitfully. Not about, we belong to a finishing generation. Can we fight for that? Can we fight for the things that we profess? Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. From whence you are called and have made a good profession before many witnesses. Let's fight for the things we proclaim. No matter what it will give, it will take us. Let's fight for the things we proclaim. These are mountain people. These are tendencies of ascending, of gaining ascendancy. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, righteousness from the God of his salvation. I don't have the time. I want to close now. Verse 6 says, can you give me verse 6? This is Jacob. Oh, I love to stay here, but I don't have time. This is Jacob, the generation of those. Why did he say this is Jacob? That's another chapter. This is Jacob. He didn't say, you know, oh my goodness, this is Jacob. This is Jacob. He didn't even say this is Israel. Yes, sir. That this is Jacob. the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Then he began to describe them again as a people that will bring dominion. Lift up your head, so you gain. He says, this generation that will execute prophetic plan, that will bring the life and the dominion of Christ to the earth, that will get territories, their custodians, that will take gates, that will execute dominion and authority. They are the ones he has described. They are seekers of God, and their nature is divine. They won't leave their hearts, their soul, to hide us. Neither will they swear deceitfully. They will go with a pure heart. Okay. And they are seekers of God. Malahasha dabontaria sekabada. Balariando supatavia deha. Then they are the ones that can bring dominion. They are the ones that can do the... You see, the ministry part of it is the last few verses. 7, 8, 9. Lift your head, so ye gates. And that's where God is taking the people of God's kingdom. We are going to superimpose over mountains. We are going to get gates open. Systems open. I'm not just talking about... When he's talking about gates here, he's not just talking about personal evangelisms. The climax of the church is... Ephesians 3:10. Principalities and powers will lend wisdom, will engage territories, will change government legislations. We will superimpose the kingdom over every other system. Lift your heads, oh ye gates. Lift your head, oh ye gates. These are governmental people. And we lift at ye everlasting doors. You know, the church is coming this age to address ancient issues. Everlasting doors. Doors that have controlled and mortgaged the destiny of men for ages. Systems that have kept men in for ages. They are called gates. Everlasting doors. You know, there are territorial powers that have designed control over Lagos in ages. Are you listening to me? In ages. And they don't have children. You understand? They are ancient devils. They don't have children. It's not that they handed over to their children and their children to their children's children. They are still the same devils. It is children, it is men that change generations. They will remain. And they knew the way they dealt with the older generation. And they know that you are not well informed about the things that transpired then. So they secure the same seat they've been holding over time. And they tend to want to control your destiny again. But God is raising a people. And that people is called Zion. Out of Zion shall come forth the law. Out of Zion shall come forth the law. These are praying people. They are people that have gained ascendancy by loving the presence of the Lord. They are the people that speak like David. They said, a day in your court is better. It's better than 1,000 years in Asorok. Their sense of value has been refurnished. They don't think normal. They say, if I stay one day, he can change 1,000 years. That's their design. They say, a day in your court. If I can engage God enough, one day. Come on, somebody say with me, one day. They have a sense of value that places value more on God, more than anything. And they know that engaging God is more important than any other thing in the world. They are the ones that will say, lift your head, O ye gates. That's why you're in that family. Don't mind them. It is true that they say you have a generational demon in your family, but God is planting you there. That's why he took you to the valley of dry bones, so that you can go through. He said to Ezekiel, walk up and down in the midst of the dry bone. He said, can the bone live? He said, down. He said, speak to them. I am giving you authority to reverse the actions of ancient devils. These bones have been dry for ages. What I've situated you there to bring kingdom. They said to Israel, your deads are coming back from the grave. They are coming back from the grave. Can you get up on your feet, people of Zion, and say, Lord, my heart, my hands, my heart, my hands, my soul, all is for you. Oh, Rakashaba, cleanse my hands, oh God. Cleanse my feet. Elemo shada bahandia kasu profekitai. Malahan jekesu kabaya na suta. Bre shada bahata borone hisalahata. Maliaka subroni hintelebunda. Sabia tai klesu.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.